Welcome back to Gathering with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have an interview with Summer House star KJ Dillard. He is one of the six new people on the cast for season 10. And I've said it before, but I'm really enjoying all six of these newbies so far this season. I feel like casting killed this. And KJ, to me especially, is definitely one of the standouts, even just in terms of moments that we've gotten from him just in one-on-one conversations with other people on the house. You know, his conversation with Sierra, with Bailey. He clearly has a connection with Carl. He's good friends with West. Now we're seeing him connecting romantically with Dara. He is doing an excellent job ingratiating himself to the house, connecting with people on a genuine level. And it's just really encouraging to me. And he's been awesome so far. So it was great to get some time with KJ to talk about his time on the show so far. And FYI, I had seen this week's episode that's airing tonight on Tuesday. So we did allude to a few things that happened in it, but no major spoilers or anything. Most of it you could have probably gleaned from the teaser for this week's episode. So keep listening for that. But two big things that we have to talk about before we get there. The first is the Traitors finale and reunion. I thought the finale was actually pretty solid. After a lackluster last couple episodes, I wasn't really that excited going into this finale, as you heard in my pre-finale episode with Mike Bloom. He did get me more excited about it because there were some interesting dynamics going into the episode. And I actually thought that the episode delivered. I mean, Mark getting murdered, I didn't really give a fuck about. Johnny getting banished, we all saw that coming, but the editing made it feel a lot more suspenseful than perhaps it deserved to be, because it was very clear that, you know, Maura was not actually going to vote for Eric. She was going to stay in line with Rob. But I think they did a good job of building up that moment in a big way. I mean, I was watching with a bunch of friends during my trip to Florida, and we were like yelling at our TV when she turned around that slate and said Johnny on it. But it was a good moment. The vote for Tara, on the other hand, was like, I thought, like, kind of hard to stomach, because it just like was very obvious as a viewer that she was not a traitor. So it just kind of felt like, again, you saw exactly where this was going, right? That Maura was just, regardless of who was in her ear, regardless of evidence presented to her showing that Rob could potentially be a traitor, or Eric could potentially be a traitor, she was not going to go against Rob. And we just saw it barreling towards that final two finish. And first of all, before we get to that, why was the final fire inside? Did they ever say that? Was it raining? It felt a little bit less epic to me, but whatever. I am glad that Rob turned on Eric, because I don't think that Eric deserved the money. I don't think that he contributed like anything to the game as a faithful or a traitor. So I had no problem with him doing that. I think that, you know, that also helped Rob sort of carry out at least part of his promise to Maura to go to the end with her, even if he was lying to her about his status in the game. They did get to the end together. You know, the big final reveal, I thought that Rob was a traitor and Maura was a faithful. I thought the buildup was worth it. I thought the wait was worth it. And as Mike and I said in our discussion from last week, this was the moment with the most potential to make this finale feel like a worthwhile finale. And I thought it delivered. I thought it was excellent television. Maura was absolutely stunned. She was shook, betrayed, speechless. And then her like launching into him saying that he'll never have a girlfriend. You pinky promised. I mean, I thought this was reality TV theater of the highest order. It made me want to watch her season of Love Island even more, because apparently she was more like that. That moment, that final moment with Rob, apparently that was more a reflection of the Maura that was on Love Island as a contestant. I thought it was an excellent moment. And I actually thought that she took it honestly pretty well, in my opinion. Like, she wasn't really a sore loser. She let him have it, and she was stunned as expected. So I think that she almost deserved that moment to launch into him, and he seemed to recognize that. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the finale way more than I expected to. So I thought, I did think that it was a great finish. The reunion, on the other hand, kind of a flop, right? I mean, the non-housewives just aren't very good at reunions. I mean, they're just fundamentally not sort of built or trained that way. There's too many people on stage. So much gets glossed over. I thought Candace and Rinna came in a little too hot. So it was kind of awkward, honestly, and felt a little bit performative. I thought it was weird that Eric and Donna had to be out on that stage for the whole time. I mean, I understand why they brought the traitors out first and they were traitors, but like, they didn't really have much to contribute. We did learn that Taylor Swift did watch The Traitors and that Donna is a Housewives fan. I thought Colton had a fine answer when talking about his past when that came up, but like, he also kind of just said a whole bunch of nothing. It was kind of word salad. And I don't know if I really believe that Rinna had some bigger confrontation of him that was cut out of the show and he stormed out over. Like, the vibes didn't really seem to indicate that to me. you know, it's entirely possible that they edited that out, or it happened, like, I think during a lunch break is what was reported. But I think maybe that was just a lot of talk from Rinna because she wished she had done more, maybe. I don't know, because it didn't really feel like there was that much tension in the room over that. Speaking of Colton, I don't know why Tiffany did not get her time to chat about her elimination and that roundtable. That was so painful to watch. And to me, it's still a standout moment from the season in a bad way. The fact that she didn't get a chance to talk about that with Colton, I think, is really unfortunate. And I think that, to me, that reads as them trying to protect Colton for whatever reason, or to not make him look terrible. I thought Michael was annoying as fuck, as per usual. I mean, they all seemed annoyed with him too. Like, Mauro was like, shut up, get to the point, we're bored. So, I mean, he was just, I just can't stand him. And then it's also hilarious to me how much screen time Portia was able to get on this reunion, despite being the first one banished. I mean, that's a skill right there. You know, as I always say, The Traitors is a game, but it's also a, you know, the TV show is also a game in terms of, you know, making moments and getting screen time. And in that way, Portia was kind of the winner of the reunion. Like, you know, I bet you, if you were to sort of like list out like the ratio of time spent on the show versus time that you got on the reunion, I bet you Portia would have the biggest difference. Like, she really got her voice heard. And I commend her for that. I also had no idea, you know, she brought that plastic bag of all the broken lipsticks, of the Rinna Beauty lipsticks that she broke after Rinna voted her out. I had no idea that Rinna Beauty had gone out of business. But Rinna did explain more of that on Threads. This is what she said in reply to somebody. The company I was in business with just stopped backing it and putting money in. And there are times you need to put some money in to help a business through certain times. And they weren't willing to do that. So you can still get it on Amazon. There's still a lot of it, but it is a shame because it is such a great product. So there's that. Those are kind of my biggest takeaways from the reunion. Like, I don't really feel like we got much. I don't think it's really an Andy problem. I think it's just maybe the show is not built to deliver on the reunion stage. I just wish that they brought up a lot more of the stuff that everyone was talking about on social media. And by everyone, I mean the people on the show themselves. Like, to me, it's not surprising that they didn't, because again, they're kind of selective in what they bring up in terms of the social media chatter on these reunions. But like, it felt to me that there were multiple elephants in the room, and not addressing them made it feel like kind of a dud after a pretty heated season, both on the show and online, of course. And I think that unfortunately makes some of the cast look like they're all talk, when I don't think that a lot of them are. So I don't know, it just felt like a little bit lackluster and uneventful. But otherwise, like, I'm pretty happy with the season of The Traitors, especially the first like 2/3 of it. I thought were really fantastic, and I was really locked in with it. So another solid round. I'm planning on watching the latest season of UK and then Celebrity UK Traitors. I've heard both of those are fantastic, so I'll be getting into those soon.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
We also have to talk about the big Roni news that came out today on Monday. Carol Radziwill, writer girl, she's returning to The Real Housewives of New York. She's going to be a friend of on season 16, which starts filming this week. I mean, this is a huge deal. I mean, at a certain point, it felt like there was no way back for Carol. She had no interest. Her and Andy had that falling out. She was done. But then, of course, they had that olive branch, and she ended up at BravoCon on stage. Her and Andy have been very open about mending fences. And to me, she is just the bridge the reboot always needed to the original run of the show. Always. You know, as Atlanta and OC and like Potomac, they have all proved that quasi reboots are much more effective after the Roni reboot, you know, not clearing house, bringing in a bunch of new people, keeping some old people, having some mid-run people. That is the best formula. And that's not what exactly we have here, but having that one person connected to the original run is so important. And Carol represents that. I'm curious if Dorinda, I had heard rumblings that Dorinda was potentially in talks to be a friend of. I don't know how true that is, but you have to wonder if like that was ever in the cards too, for Dorinda and Carol to sort of be like this, or maybe they were competing for the spot. I don't know. But, you know, they're friendly, and Dorinda, I think, has become a little bit friendly with some of the new people. So that could have made sense, but I feel like her joining, obviously, the E! Show you know, disqualified her from that and sort of meant, maybe it signaled, because, you know, she did join a little later, maybe it signaled that she was in talks for this. They fell through, so she agreed to finally join the E1. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Total speculation, but just sort of based on how this stuff can work sometimes, that could be what happened here. I also know that the Bluestone Manor show is still, you know, probably happening, or at least, like, you know, there's some pre-production talks about it. So maybe that's also part of why she didn't do Roni specifically. I don't know. That I'm totally just kind of being on a tangent here. But Carol, I mean, she brings legitimacy and smarts. And most importantly, like, she just has all this goodwill with a lot of the fandom right now after she went to BravoCon. Again, buried the hatchet with Andy. And I feel like it will help quell a lot of the deserved skepticism about the reboot from people who still sort of hang on to, you know, Roni legacy and why that show never happened and why they cleared house a couple of years ago. Like, I think Carol being introduced to this, the excitement for her drowns out some of the skepticism. Definitely not all of it, but some. And it is good timing. I mean, with Love Story, the JFK and Carolyn Bessette show airing right now, there is an already increased interest in her past life. You know, she was, again, married to JFK Jr.'s cousin. She's actually not portrayed on Love Story, but again, she's sort of tangentially, you know, roped into that sort of hoopla around their story. And also, it's interesting timing, it has to be said, with her name popping up allegedly, apparently, in the Epstein files. I don't know many of the details about that. I'm sort of numb to a lot of hard news these days, but I believe that her name did pop up there. And, you know, she has always maintained that she barely knew Ghislaine Maxwell. They had some correspondence, but they weren't like great friends, according to her. So I think there's like some questions around that. And so, of course, the question becomes like, will any of her new castmates bring it up? They have every right to, I think, and it's very topical and current right now. It depends on if production or Bravo wants to make that a thing too, but it also depends on if they're up for asking her. But I think if they want to make a good show, one of them probably should at least try. You know, it reminds me, of course, of the Rebecca Minkoff thing. She was a friend of on season 15, have heavy ties to Scientology. It was brought up, but the way they handled that and kind of fumbled that doesn't give me that much confidence in their ability to bring this up to Carol. So I have low expectations when it comes to that. I also wouldn't want it to all be about that, but I just think that's something that's sort of like, again, elephant in the room. You should at least ask about it and address it, in my opinion. Speaking of her castmates, we have Aaron, Jessel, and Cy all returning. Everybody else from the other from the original reboot cast are not going to be part of the show. And then the new people that Bravo announced are Haley Glassman, Erica Hammond, and Daisy Toy. Haley is John Gosselin's ex, apparently. Girl with no job, posted a TikTok after Bravo announced the new cast members with all of these screenshots of DMs that Haley had sent her, overtly fat-shaming her on her Instagram, but also sort of fangirling over her. I mean, it's super weird and gross behavior, but in my mind, it's sort of like, and I hate to say this, but like, maybe this is like problematic chaos that the show has desperately needed on the previous cast that was like so obsessed with not ruffling any feathers. I'm not in support of her messages that she sent to Claudia, but like, maybe she's somebody that the rest of the cast could take down and confront over this kind of behavior. That's just my two cents. Erica Hammond is a fitness influencer. She is married to the billionaire founder of Built. So she has real money. And then Daisy is Martha Stewart's glam person. So to me, that means that Martha will almost certainly pop up, whether that's just a cameo, you know, here and there, or maybe they would want to push her to form a little bit more and be like a minor friend of, like a la Kathy Hilton vibes. Like I could kind of see her being the kooky sort of client / coworker of Daisy. That sounds kind of fun if Martha would be up for it. And I feel like Martha's in this don't give a fuck phase, so it could be good. And also shout out to Kate Arthur at Variety for the exclusive initial report. Bravo also announced it directly at the same time, which I think is such a smart thing for them to be doing. They've done this several times now where they're getting ahead of any major casting or production stuff leaking on fan pages and such by controlling the narrative and announcing new casting, production starting, things like that on their own, which I think is really smart. So I love that they're kind of getting behind these early announcements of the cast. There's not too much detail provided, but names are sort of enough to sort of quench the thirst. And Dumois had posted the new people earlier in the day. It kind of sounded like it came directly from somebody on production, which I think is also interesting. Like, was that greenlit to leak before the official report? But the other detail in there, which I think is really important and shouldn't be glossed over because it's very encouraging, is that the new showrunner is this woman named Lori Gordon. She is coming from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She was the showrunner over there for several years. I've actually had dinner with her in a group of like five or six before, and she is a boss. Like, she means business. She's very good at her job. Like, I just mean that in such a complimentary way. And you see what she did with Salt Lake City. Like, she knows what she's doing. And that gives me hope that Real Housewives of New York City will be produced in a much more effective way. So that gives me, that's encouraging, you know. And I'm not big up on the Roni reboot, but that detail is important to note. And she is also involved in show running in The City, the Summer House spinoff that's coming after season 10. Again, I've heard a little bit about that, and it sounds encouraging. So that's a detail that I think everybody should remember. That's it for Up Top for me today. Keep listening for my interview with KJ Dillard from Summer House. Tune in to Summer House season 10 on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Bravo, streaming next day on Peacock. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. Reminder, Southern Hospitality comes back for its fourth season tomorrow on Wednesday. The premiere is excellent. I've already watched it, and I have an interview with Joe Bradley and Maddie Reese coming tomorrow to celebrate premiere day. So just a little reminder that we have another great new season coming to Bravo. And also, Ladies of London, The New Reign, premieres the next day. I've also seen that first episode, and I'll share my thoughts at a later date. All right, keep listening for my interview with KJ. I want to gab. All right, today we are gabbing with KJ Dillard, one of the newbies on this season of Summer House. KJ has been a total breath of fresh on this season so far, and I'm excited to get some time with him. KJ, how's it going?
Hello, I'm doing good. Yes.
Yeah. How's it been with the show airing? Going well?
Amazing. Life changing, to be honest. I'm getting noticed in the streets now, which is very strange.
What are people saying to you when they come up to you in the streets?
I remember I was with my group of friends in the East Village, actually, and someone was like, oh my gosh, is that KJ from Summer House? And I looked back, and I was like, yes, it's me.
Just kept on walking.
and then they asked for a photo. And yeah, it's nice, though. I enjoy meeting people and connecting with people, so I really do like that. But it is strange, because I'm just me.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the appealing aspects of Summer House, especially living in New York. It's like, I think people really do feel a kinship with you as a cast, and like there's a relatability factor to this show, I think, inherently. And so to see that you're already connecting with people sort of probably generally around your age and living in the same city as you, that's kind of nice. Like, it's just, it means that you're people, you know, see something in you that you know is reflected. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I feel honored. It's a good feeling.
And I feel like, you know, on Summer House, it has historically not been super easy for a guy to come into the house and stick and find their place, like without like another person that came in with them. And obviously this season we have six new people, but you know, Wes was your friend that brought you into the show. But it seems like you've really been able to kind of connect with people broadly in the house. Like, we've seen several really kind of memorable conversations that you've had. What do you attribute your ability to like connect with this group so quickly to?
Moving. I've moved so many times in my life. It started when I was 10 years old, when I moved from Arizona to Kansas City. We were in Kansas City. Me and my mom and my sisters moved around a lot. And so I always had to meet new people. I was going to new schools. And then when I was 20, moved to LA and was couch surfing, moving around a lot. And so I've always had to move and just meet new people and like adjust. And so I'm able to be put in a room full of people that I don't know and then connect with at least one person.
And that's just like, there's like a filter lifted kind of because you live that way?
It just comes very naturally to me because I've been doing it for 18 years now.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's been really cool to watch it. And I think in particular, your conversation with Sierra really stands out. And I think that that is going to be one that will be memorable past this season. Like it felt like a really special moment, not just like episode to episode, just like bigger picture to me. And you had not met Sierra before, correct?
No. Uh-uh.
So what about you and Sierra? Like, because I think that clearly is like a kind of a different level of connection that you've been able to uncover with her.
Mm-hmm. I have two younger sisters. And so it was just me and them growing up. And I always wanted a big sister. I have cousins who are like big sisters to me. So I'm able to like connect with them. And I think Sierra just gives off that vibe of like I'm big sis, you know what I'm saying? And like, I love that. And same with Mia too. They're like, I always call them sister. You ever see that?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then it's just me. So yeah, I think.
Didn't they have a brother? They had a brother on that show, didn't they? Maybe a younger brother?
A friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go. You're right. It makes sense. Reboot sister.
Yeah, a friend. So yeah.
And has that relationship, that big sister brother relationship, has that like deepened, you know, since last summer? Is that still something that you guys have been able to build?
100%. Yeah. Been through a lot with both Mia and Sierra. And so, yeah, in such a short amount of time, which is,
yeah,
it feels like it's been years that I've known them, but I have not even known them for a full year yet, which blows my mind.
It's wild. But I feel like when you join a show like this, it's a small club of people that really understand that experience. And so for Sierra to take you under her wing in that way is really special to hear. And, you know, the moment of Wes checking in on you and you being really open about, you know, anxiety, that is also something that has been refreshing and also very much applauded by the audience. Like people have really responded to that extremely well and kind of celebrated that. What was it like seeing all the love that moment and your openness has gotten on social media?
It's the best feeling ever because I just love people and I like when people are happy and being able to speak about my experiences and seeing that it's helping someone else is the most fulfilling thing in the world.
So have people responded kind of feeling like you talking about that reflects their own experience in a way?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Has the show brought you and Wes closer together? Because obviously he brought you in as his friend, but do you feel closer to him after all this?
Me and Wes will always be me and Wes. I think. We're just close. Like I called him the other day because I thought he was out. I was seeing what he was doing. And then bro's just on the treadmill running. And he's just like, just hit me up tomorrow. And I'm just like, he's like, today I'm like getting after it.
Okay.
All right. But, you know, yeah, I love Wes, brother I never had. So.
Yeah, it feels like you guys really understand each other. Well, what was it like, though, being in that room? You and Ben are on one bed, Jesse and Wes on the other. And Jesse asks Wes for permission. We see the faces you guys make, but what was going through your head when Jesse asked Wes that?
I was like, nah, bro. I was like, this cannot happen and is not a good look for anybody. I was shook. But you live and you learn, and Jesse's going to have to live and learn. And I love Jesse to death. I love Jesse. It's my boy. Mm-hmm. But we all make mistakes. I've said things. I've done things that I'm not proud of. And I had to learn from them.
Mm-hmm. We see how Sierra reacts to finding out about that in this week's episode. What was your reaction to seeing how Sierra kind of responded to that? Because you had gotten to know her so well, and you have gotten to know her so well.
It hurt my heart because, like I said, she's like a sister to me. And if someone was saying that about one of my sisters, It would break my heart. It would upset me. So that's exactly how I felt.
You and Dara also strike up a connection, and you have a really fun, playful banter, it seems, right, kind of right off the bat. Even though KJ, you didn't remember meeting her.
One of the most embarrassing moments of my entire life. And I will never let myself live that down.
She handled it well, you handled it well, but it was quite funny to see that.
Wow. Like, because I really like Dara. And so you would think if you really like somebody that you would remember them, especially when you met them not that long ago before the party.
But you know what? Something like a singles mixer, that is an overwhelming environment. Filming a reality show, being at a party, the Renaissance party, those are overwhelming environments. So it makes sense to like not connect the dots. I think anybody would have done the same.
I have a good memory though. So that kind of shocked. Okay. Yeah. Because I was just like, you look familiar.
Well, maybe she makes you flustered in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, okay, we'll run with that.
So we see you guys go on a date. We hear that you guys have been hanging out between the weekends. What drew you to Dara? Can you just speak to like your connection with each other, kind of that instant bond that you guys had?
One, to be honest, I think she's one of the most beautiful girls I've ever laid eyes on. Two, she's emotionally intelligent and so in love. And so we're able to connect and have deep conversations and relate on a lot of things emotionally. She comes from a different background than I do. And I like when opposites attract, just because I'm someone who enjoys learning and experiencing things that I haven't before. So we're both able to just, you know, show each other different things and learn from one another. And she's one of the strongest individuals I know. She doesn't take no mess. And I love that. I love a strong woman because it reminds me of my mom. My mom's a very strong woman. So got to surround myself with strong women.
Absolutely. Are we going to see her spend more time at the house this season with you? What can you tease what's to come there?
Yeah, I'm definitely into her. So, yeah.
Okay.
The player, KJ, that I was trying to be with the boys at the club is over.
Lasted just a couple weeks, right?
Lasted 1.5 weeks.
So that you're back in your lover boy era. That's what you're saying.
Back in the lover boy era for sure.
Okay. And does that continue past the summer? Obviously, you can't say much, but...
To be continued.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I'll say.
We see also this car ride where you're telling the boys about hanging out with her between the weekends. And Ben is supportive of you, but he is a little bit more like withdrawn, I guess, in terms of, you know, chiming in. Did you consider having a direct conversation with him about that before sort of like pursuing Dara in earnest, or is that not sort of like your relationship yet?
No, not yet. That wasn't like a relationship.
Outside of the people we've talked about, I feel like one of the people you've seemed to connect with a lot is Carl. We've seen you guys go on runs and have some really great conversations. What do you guys have in common that you feel like has bolstered that friendship?
Well, when I first met Carl, he told me he grew up watching my dad play in Pittsburgh. And I had never met anyone who had watched my dad play baseball other than, you know, my mom and my family.
Yeah.
So it was just like, whoa, this is wild. And that immediately formed the connection because he's a big Pittsburgh fan, big Pirates fan. So we were talking sports. And then both of our brothers passed away. So we were able to connect on that and be there for one another. And he's just also emotionally in touch as a man. And
yeah,
I appreciate that. And I appreciate his wisdom. And I like how he's a little older than me and he's gone through things that I haven't, but he's able to just pass down just great advice. And I'm also able to be there for him in different ways. And so Carl's the man, for sure. One of my lifelong friends.
That's amazing to hear. And I feel like he also just came into that summer in such a steady, good place. And so it seemed like he was maybe in a place also where he could have like an open heart to bring somebody like you in and connect on that way. Like, it just, that's really special to hear. It really is.
Yeah. No, I love Carl a lot.
So obviously a big part of this season, KJ, is the Kyle and Amanda situation. And as viewers, it feels like it's taking up a lot of sort of the oxygen in the room. You know, it feels like we're seeing a lot of moments between them. But I'm curious, as somebody who was in the house with them all summer, like, did it feel that way? Did it feel like it was sort of like dominating the proceedings, or like, was it more balanced than maybe it appears?
It was definitely more balanced than it appeared, because they were also doing their own thing too. And a lot of the things that I saw play back, I didn't even know were going on. Right.
Okay.
So yeah, they didn't make it everyone's problem, which I really appreciated. Obviously things happened where, you know, we'd be in public and something would happen, but those were like very rare. Like, it wasn't like they were just fighting all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had times, and there were times where I saw them laughing together, having a, you know, it was chill. Like, and I loved them both.
Yeah, I think I can tell from like the Renaissance party weekend, like that, where it wasn't as, you know, tense or whatever. But
yeah,
them, like, you can tell that there are moments. But I was just curious, in those first couple weekends, especially when you're a new person in this group, like, I guess what it was like having kind of a front row seat to, like, in, I don't know, like at the first dinner, there was a lot of back and forth in front of everybody. And I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot to look at.
That's relationships. Yeah. Relationships aren't perfect. People have their things, but it's not my place to judge. And yeah, you know, they seem to be in good places right now. And I love that.
Definitely. The first several weekends, one of the mainstays of the show, Lindsay, was not around, and you had not met her yet. And then she came in for that singles event, and then obviously the Renaissance party weekend. What was your first impression of Lindsay, and how she kind of, how the group reacted, I guess, to her being there? Because she's a big personality and it obviously adds to it. But what was your impression?
I met Lindsay briefly at the singles party, and she's very sweet, very sweet, very strong woman.
Yeah.
Very strong.
And you like strong women.
Yeah. No, but Lindsay's the best. You know, she speaks her mind, which I love, because I have trouble doing that sometimes. And so I look up to her in that way, where it's just like, no, Lindsay will say how she feels and not care. And I'm just like, that's so dope. I wish I could do that. And so, yeah. And I'm glad that her and Carl are on good terms, and that there's drama between them. And yeah, shout out to Lindsay.
Do you feel like, again, I mentioned you're one of six new people in this group this summer. Did you feel like a special kinship to the other newbies in the house? Like, does that bond you in a different way to them versus people who have been around in previous summers, or no?
Yes and no. Obviously, it's like the first day of school. You have the new kids coming in. And I was able to like connect with Bailey and Levi, just, and Ben too, from the get-go, just on that. And then Mia felt like she had already been there. So like, Mia's a pro. She's just like, everyone was like, it seems like Mia's already been a part of the cast.
That's hilarious.
No, so it wasn't like weird or anything, or like awkward. It was just chill. And yeah, I mean, but like I said, I'm someone that I'm able to connect with anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I was always presumed, I guess, as a viewer, like, that when you come in with other new people, like, you can lean on them in a different way, because it is new for all the experience of like the full thing with the cameras and everything. It's like, that's
new for
all of you.
We definitely, like, the newbies, we, when it came to that stuff, yes.
Mm-hmm. So season 10, KJ, is, like, definitely, like, it's a big season for Summer House in general because Matt remarks a decade, but also like we have In the City coming afterwards and, you know, Lindsay, Kyle and Amanda are going to be on that show. And it feels like just to me as like it's a big summer, but also a transitional summer too for the show in this house with this group and six new people. Does this feel like something that you like would want to keep doing in the future? Like, did you enjoy this and want to continue to like put your life out there in this way?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're in. You're in.
I'm in. I'm all in.
Yeah. What about it like has really roped you in?
I learned so much about myself and others, and I was able to reflect on my life and seeing how the fans are amazing, the best fans ever, and they care. And just so many positive things that I had never experienced in my life. And I'm just very grateful for everybody who's a part of it, the viewers, the cast, production. Shout out to production, putting in those long hours and just being cool. Like everyone on production, shout out to them for real, because they're just like, they make it easy. Because, you know, this is a difficult job just to, you know, have all the cameras and people know about your life and
things.
But production and the networks made it amazing. So shout out to them.
Do you feel like the show has also come kind of at a transitional moment for you? Because I from just like the, you know, the PR materials, like it sounds like your skateboarding stuff, you're winding it down a little bit more and you're embracing like the singing and or the music and the modeling even more. Like, is that an accurate depiction of sort of where you are in your life as we see you last summer?
Perfect timing. I couldn't express that as much as like it's happening. It's literally perfect timing because skateboarding, I'm just getting older. I mean, I'm 28, which is young, but like physically it's hard on my body. And like I had my run of skateboarding and now I enjoy it as a hobby and I still have sponsors, but it's not what it used to be. And I think me coming into the show and focusing more on modeling and music, I'm starting to be able to fully be KJ. Whereas before I was just KJ the skateboarder. Now it's just like, oh, I'm KJ and skateboarding's a part of me. Music's a part of me. TV's a part of me. Modeling's a part of me, but it's not defining who I am. Right. And I'm super appreciative for that because I always wanted to have a voice and I wanted to speak for people who maybe couldn't speak for them, you know what I mean, themselves. Yeah. And like now it feels like I'm walking into that to where, I can talk about mental health. I can talk about race. I can talk about women's rights. I can talk about all these things that shaped me as a person. Or when you're a model or just a skateboarder, you don't have a voice. You know, you're just a product, unfortunately. Or that's how the industry views you, is just a product. And now I don't feel that way. And it's huge lift off of my shoulder. And I'm able to embrace who I am. And I love myself and I love others.
Oh, that's really good to hear. I mean, like it's the fact that you feel so good about the fact that you are embracing this new platform and experience that people are getting to know you in a really well-rounded way, I would say too. Like it hasn't been that long and I feel like I have a pretty good concept of like what you believe in and where you come from and all this stuff. And like, there's obviously so much more to unpack there, but I don't know. I'm glad you feel good about like how the world is viewing you and how you're being presented to the world in this way. Cause it's for you. It's you. It's not the skateboarder. It's not whatever. It's just you. And that's a pretty cool thing. Must be a good feeling. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, KJ, I appreciate you taking the time today. It was really good to chat with you. And, again, I really mean it when I say that it's been great to watch you and I'm excited for what the future holds for you in this Summer House experience, because it's been, people are really loving you and you should feel good about that.
Thank you much. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, KJ, hopefully we get to talk again soon and have a good rest of your week.
Sounds good. You too.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.